Grace and peace to you all this morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is good to be here with you today. Today we wear yellow. All right, we had an agreement. We're wearing yellow. Next week, if you wish, feel free to wear red or any other flame color. It's Pentecost. Or you could just wear red any day. But like tongues of fire. So if you want to wear red on Pentecost. It is good to be here with you. The spring is springing. The trees are a glorious color, and all the people with their caravans are out. So it is wonderful, and I'm jealous because I'm still at tent level, and that's okay. It just requires more planning and packing. It is good to be here with you. Let us pray. God, we thank you for being in this space with us. We thank you that you are always where we are, but especially in this time and this space, we feel you in a concentrated way, and we come and we face you fully as we gather together, building relationship and listening to your word read and proclaimed as we lift up our voices in song, as we share peace, as we pray together. May this time feel extra holy as we are in your presence this morning. Amen.
Our first reading today is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 6 through 14, page 884 in your pew Bibles. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this a time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Our second reading today comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 11, page 879 in your pew Bibles. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. I have been glorified in them, and now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. This ends today's reading.
So we have this past week and our Acts scripture this morning, we have the ascension. It is when Jesus floats up into the clouds, and it is right before Pentecost for next week. And I have discovered, as I have sat with the ascension text this week, that I have absolutely no theological opinion or otherwise about the ascension. Why did it happen? I don't know. It just did. What does it mean? I don't know. People tell me it's important. I'm not entirely sure. I don't feel the need to get into it. So that was fun. And a staller on the sermon preparation. So we are, I mean, like, it's, if you have an opinion about it, cool. I just haven't processed it yet. So we're going to work with primarily the gospel today, for there is enough in there. John is unusual in that Jesus does not go away to pray by himself. He does it out in front of everybody. So we get to witness what it is that he is saying. And I relied on some definitions that were given to me this week for how to understand John, how to understand his word usage. And so the word glorify, right? I don't know what opinions you have about glorify, but I tend to think it's about praise. It's in the context of worship, and it has a lot of kind of otherworldly kinds of connotations. You know, glorify God and enjoy him forever is the first answer in the Westminster Catechism. That's the chief end of human beings, by the way. So what does glorify mean? Well, in the book of John, glorify just means to make visible, to make something seen. So all the times that it says glorify, we're like, what? What are we doing? Are we singing? Are we raising our hands? What are we doing here? Right? It just means make visible. So it was a wonderful job reading this morning. I think she went downstairs. But I'm gonna reread the first paragraph, and I'm gonna not use the word glorify, okay? So we'll see if it reads a little differently. All right, we can do this. You can follow along if you wish, but you do not need to. I'm gonna go till verse 5. Jesus says, "Father, the hour has come. Make your Son visible, so that the Son may make you visible, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I made you visible on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, make me visible in your own presence with the visibility that I had in your presence before the world existed." So glorify is make people aware. This whole passage here, this whole beginning passage, is God has introduced God's self to the people, has introduced Jesus to the people, and now it has been spread along there. So sharing as well. And God and Jesus are lifting each other up in the process. And this does get a little into the centuries-long debate of when did Jesus show up. So the one Make me visible in your own presence with the visibility that I had in your presence before the world existed. I will tell you right now, it is not, I do not lose sleep over whether or not God or Jesus came first or at the same time, or other people can do that. But this is still a passage that is very much not Paul, the later letters that are all about Jesus. Because this passage is about God and Jesus and God and people. They are together. They lift each other up. The second important point in this scripture, did you notice? It talks about eternal life. Now think of all the things that you think of with eternal life, right? Cool. All right, this is what Jesus says through John. That they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life isn't heaven. It isn't being ghosts. It isn't your legacy. It isn't staying just as you are. It isn't your ego continuing as you. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of people, they're afraid when they die that they themselves will go away. That's death. It's okay. I had a professor, a theology professor in seminary, who gave the best description of death I've ever heard. And he said, we are born out of eternity and we die back into it. In light of today's text, we could say we are born out of God and we die back into God and God's realm. Eternal life isn't about me. It's about us. Jesus then goes on to spend a bigger chunk of the passage talking about God and Jesus in relationship with those that Jesus has connected with. Do you remember them? So in John, I love having people at the jail read John because all the people that Jesus meets are sketchy. He does not meet upstanding citizens. There was the woman at the well. Remember her? Mm-hmm. She was there midday to avoid people. There's Nicodemus who comes in the cover of darkness because he's kind of important and he likes this Jesus guy, but he doesn't necessarily want to give up where he is. There's the healed blind man with whom Jesus has an extended conversation. There's Mary and Martha and Lazarus who are wonderfully imperfect. And then we have the disciples, mostly, you know, they fish and I can smell and it's not the most glamorous of jobs, you know. The people that Jesus is referencing are social outcasts. They are reprobates. They are broken people. The ones that Jesus reached were not the ones that society looked up to. Thanks be to God. But these broken people in divine relationship have eternal life. Remember, we were talking about Jesus and God coming alongside, about the advocate, the Holy Spirit, who comes to be with us and the abode that God puts forth for us. And now I am at the point wherein I wonder if I've either completely gotten the point of John in his gospel of all this relationship stuff, or if I only have one sermon. A speech sermon professor, preaching professor in seminary said everyone has three different sermon topics, or five different sermon topics, give or take two, and we all pray that we're the one with seven topics instead of three, and I feel like I'm giving you the same one over and over again. Is it indeed all about relationship? Because for the moment, in my brain and my processing, things seem peaceful, dare I say even attainable. So in this framework, where are we going? Well, one is relationship with God. Two, relationship with each other. Three, keep it going. And four, make God known to get others into the mix. Am I oversimplifying, or have I actually for the moment gotten the point? Which is very humbling because I never feel like I actually get the point. I didn't do a full set of chapels this week, but with the few that I did, they heard this and they were like, that's nice. And we talked about being visible in relationship and eternal life. And then they moved on to other topics, other questions rather eagerly. They asked about the sacraments. I think I clarified that there's just a few select sacraments and that the things that Jesus did that he asked us to do, they were kind of going with, do you remember where, I think it's for Peter, that God puts out a sheet with all the profane things on it and says none of these things are profane? I think that they wanted to put all of the things that they do that are illegal that they do onto that sheet and have it be okayed. To which I answered the question, no, Jesus did not do meth. So, this is interesting. And then I also think of, we've been watching on, Lily and I, we've been watching on the internet a lot of stories of people who rescue animals, who rescue pets, and they foster, hi, that's Lily. They foster the pets and they take care of them. And so they'll take a completely feral cat that just hisses every time it sees somebody, and they'll bring it home, or they take, there's a pit bull, because, you know, they're really angry and mean, and that has some, it's old, and it has some physical conditions, and they take it, and they go through like 3-4 months of therapy to get the animal to walk again and all this stuff, and I keep thinking, why can't we do this with pets and not people? Why is it easier to take care of animals that are causing harm and downtrodden and feel unloved than it is to take care of human beings? I'm still sitting with that one. And I wonder what more I could share with you, what stories I could share. Mom was talking about a rabbi she recently heard who just shared stories the whole time, but stories are a point of connection. Does your story come alongside mine? Or more examples that I could give you. Or I could give you maybe homework of go out. I thought, you know, go out and commune with nature and connect, because everything is holy. Everything is from God. If we're in relationship with God, then we're in relationship with everything around us. And then people call us hippies. And as I got to this point, I was listening to my kid laugh and hearing her tell me that she loved me. And I was thinking about my mom, who's still grieving my dad, and she's just lonely and angry and tries so hard to find connection, and it is so hard to make. And I was grateful for my neighbors upstairs who put my throw pillows back in the dryer because they weren't dry yet and sent me a text message at 11 p.m. And I was thinking about watering my plants, giving them living water, literally, and feeding the fish, and changing the cat's litter. And thinking that that connection, that relationship that is God and Jesus and God, and then all the broken people in together, that it expands. And when we open our eyes, when we open our beings, then everything comes to us as a gift of the divine. And it's not just the flowers under the trees, which I realized today that I match, but it is also, it's not just the beautiful things that are from God, it's the spiders, and it's the snakes, and it's, dare I say, the feral people, and it's those who you just have a hard time loving. God loves them. They are gifts to us, one way or another. Glorify, make God visible. Make Jesus visible. Prioritize the divine. Prioritize those we meet, especially those in need of love. Glorify and enjoy. That is eternal life. You, me, God, everybody is eternal life when we join in together and live into that love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Dear ones, go forth from this place glorifying God, glorifying Jesus, glorifying relationship, and loving, making known, making visible that care and compassion that comes from the Father, the gumption of the Son to go forth into the places where we're not supposed to go, and the communion, the advocacy of the Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen.